Our Bible reading this week comes from the Gospel of John. We're taking a short break from the Gospel of Mark, and we're reading from the Gospel of John chapter 1 today. And this is on page 117, if you wish to follow in the Pew Bible. Page 117 in the New Testament, if you want to follow along. And this wee bit that we're going to read, Jesus has just walked by John the Baptist. John the Baptist is out, this wild man out preaching in the desert, and John sees Jesus passing by. And so Jesus is in the same area that John is preaching. So verse 35 of John chapter 1. It says, "The next day John was standing there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus walking by. 'There is the Lamb of God,' he said. The two disciples heard him say this and went with Jesus. Jesus turned, saw them following him and asked, 'What are you looking for?' They answered, 'Where do you live, Rabbi?' This word means teacher. 'Come and see,' he answered. It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they went with him and saw where he lived and spent the rest of that day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. At once he found his brother Simon and told him, 'We have found the Messiah.' This word means Christ. Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas.' This is the same as Peter and means a rock." The Lord bless us, this reading of his holy word. Amen. A number of years ago, when Billy Graham was at the height of his ministry and holding crusades all around the world in football stadiums, and maybe saw him yourself in the Kelvin Hall or in Celtic Park when he was last in Glasgow. Billy Graham devised a plan for reaching other people with the gospel, and he called it Operation Andrew, after the Apostle Andrew. And he encouraged Christians to be inspired by the example of Andrew as a disciple of Jesus and as the one who introduced Peter to Jesus. So it's this idea of believers in Jesus introducing other people to Jesus. And it was as simple as that, seeing Andrew as an example to inspire us. And as we're taking part in Back to Church Sunday next week, and being encouraged to invite friends with us to church, it seemed a good idea for us to look at the example here of Andrew the Apostle, Apostle of Jesus and patron saint of Scotland as well. And so there's three observations I want to make about this passage that we just read, and hope it inspires you and gives you courage to bring a friend along with you next Sunday. First thing is that I think you can only share what you have yourself. You can only share what you have yourself. And unless you have an experience and knowledge of Jesus yourself, then it's unlikely that you're going to convince anyone else to follow after him. You know, that might seem a bit obvious, but let's take a wee minute to look at how it applies to Andrew here in the passage that we read. Now, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist and was with him on the day that Jesus walked by. And John cries out, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Look, there is the Lamb of God." Maybe it seems a strange thing for John to say about someone. You know, in the Jewish law, a lamb was offered up as a sacrifice to God. as a sacrifice for sin. It was a covering for sin. So if a person had sinned against God, they offered up a lamb to God to pay for that sin. And when Moses ordered God's people to kill lambs to eat on that first Passover, you remember the night before they left Egypt and they went out into the desert, Moses commanded the people to slaughter a lamb and put the blood over the doorposts. And you might remember what happened. The angel of death, the angel of the Lord's judgment, passed over the houses. And that's why it was called the Passover meal. And the Jewish people, the time of Jesus and today, still celebrate that meal, remembering their deliverance in Egypt, the Passover. And it was the blood of the lamb that was slaughtered that covered the people's sins. It caused God's judgment to pass over them. So what John was saying here is, this man who's walking by, he's the Lamb of God. He is the one whose blood will cover your sins. He is the one who will avert God's wrath and judgment upon you. And that's quite a statement to make about any human being. And of course we know that Jesus' death on the cross did that very thing, that Jesus' blood shed for us on the cross is what covers our sin. It's what makes us holy and acceptable to God. It's what averts God's wrath and judgment upon us. Now, when Andrew and the other disciple that he's with, we're not told who the other disciple is, we're just told there was two of them, and one was Andrew. And when they hear this, they leave John and they go with Jesus. And Jesus asks them what they're looking for, and they ask, "Where do you live, Rabbi?" Maybe a strange question for them to ask. Where do you live? I think they'd already made up their mind that they were going to follow this man because they knew who he was. Where do you live, Rabbi? You know, whatever happened to Andrew in that moment, we just know that he wanted to be with Jesus. He realised that he had to leave John, who he'd been following. And John was preparing them all this time. He said that one is coming after me, the Lamb of God. And so Andrew knew that this was the person that he was to follow. And when Andrew meets Jesus, he knows that he has found the Christ. So Andrew here, he has a personal experience of Jesus. He meets Jesus for himself. And more than that, he has a knowledge given to him by God that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. And that's important. You know, Andrew was the first disciple. He was one of the first to understand who Jesus was. And Andrew had something real to share with other people, because he was convinced in his heart that Jesus of Nazareth, was the Christ. And meeting Jesus had radically changed his life, so much so that he was leaving behind his past. He wasn't going to follow John anymore, and John wasn't upset about that because he gave them the freedom to go, and he went and followed Jesus. And for us to be able to share the good news of Jesus with others, you need to experience the good news of Jesus yourself. A second-hand experience or second-hand information is no good. That will not convince anyone that they should turn around from the way they're living or give up their Sunday morning lie-in to come to church or to follow Jesus. You need a real experience of Jesus yourself to convince anyone else. And people can see that your faith makes a difference in your life or not. And people know if you really believe what you claim to believe. I received an email this week from a youth worker in the Inverclyde area who helps lead a lunchtime club at a local high school. And they were meeting with teenagers, and they were having a discussion about faith. What do you believe in? And some of the kids were saying, well, you know, faith for me, you know, I believe in my friends, I believe in my family. And they rattled off a whole load of different things. I believe in fate, all these different things. Then one girl said, my faith is in Jesus Christ as my own saviour. You could have heard a pin drop in the room. As a ripple effect went across to those who did actually believe but were too afraid to say that they believed. And all of a sudden, those other kids said, well, I actually believe in Jesus as well. I follow him as my saviour too. Then the kids that were maybe looking at faith for the first time were blown away by this girl's passion and her sincerity. That really came over. That this girl really did believe what she believed. So it's important that we have a personal testimony of Jesus if we're going to have any success in sharing him with others. Secondly, when we look at the example of Andrew, you see the power of a personal invitation. Now, we're told that after Andrew had spent time with Jesus, at once he found his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah. And then he took Simon to meet Jesus. And Simon Peter became a follower of Jesus too. Now, Andrew doesn't get a big starring role in the Gospels after this. Later on, John's Gospel, he's the one who finds the wee boy with the five loaves and the two fish. But apart from that, Andrew doesn't really feature greatly at all, apart from this wee episode here. Andrew's remembered as the one, the first one to follow Jesus, and the first one to bring somebody else to follow him as well. And you don't get much more important than that. Well, personal invitation is so powerful. We must never underestimate how God can use us in this way. Now, few of us are maybe called to be the next Billy Graham, an evangelist or a preacher. But everyone can be an Andrew. Everyone can bring someone else to meet the Saviour. I've got a wee slide I want to put up just now. There we go. A number of surveys have been done of those who recently started going to church and came to faith in Christ, and those that kept coming back to church. They were asked, what was the most important factor in you coming to church in the first place? And this is what people said, that only 1-2% that the church had met a special need. So the church had gone out into the community, done something, and someone was touched enough that they came to church. 2-3% walked in off the street. They maybe saw the sign or saw a church website and came in. 1-2% came because of a visitation program that this church was doing. Another maybe 0-5% came because there was maybe another big event on in the town or in the city, a big evangelistic crusade like Billy Graham, and someone's found faith, and all of a sudden, they're looking for a church. And then 4-5% came because they were looking for a Sunday school for their children. And 1-6%, it was through a direct contact with the minister that they came back to church. 75-90% of people who come to church for the first time and stay come because it was a friend or a relative that brought them to church. I think that's quite striking, the difference in the numbers there, that the vast majority of people who are going to come to follow Jesus are going to come because you or I invited them to come and hear. You know, leaflet drops, adverts in the paper, special events, all these things help in some way. And they might encourage a few people to find Christ. But if we want to reach a lot of people, then a personal invitation goes a million miles. If every person here today were to just bring one person next Sunday, we'd have nearly 200 people in this church. And that would really be something if we saw that. Here's something just to get your imagination going for a wee minute and to test out your mental arithmetic skills as well. If I was able to lead one person a year to follow Christ and taught each one to do the same thing and lead one person each year to Christ. Okay? So one person a year, myself, and then get the next person to do the same is what I did. How many years do you think it would take to reach all the people in our parish of 6,500 people? Anybody want to guess? 5 years? 10 years? 15 years? Well, the answer is 14 years it would take to reach 6,500 people. If you wanted to reach everybody in Greenock, 45,000 people, it would take 15 years, only 1 year more. It would only take 24 years to reach every single person in Scotland, 5 million people. And if you wanted to reach the whole world, you could do it in 34 years. Now, it's 2,000 years since Jesus was here. And in 34 years, you could reach the whole world for Christ, if that were possible. And that just shows you the power of inviting someone to follow Christ. If we all did that and encouraged others to do that, you see the power of that effect. There's a wee story about a Chinese philosopher. I wasn't planning to tell you this, but it's relevant anyway. And it was in the court of the king in China. And this man challenged the king to... He said if they were playing chess, they had one of these great big chess boards in the court of the king, so 64 squares on it. And he said, if I place one grain of rice on the first square, and then two grains of rice on the second square, four grains on the next square, he said, will you give me all the value in money of all the rice that I put on that square? And of course the king kind of laughs and just imagines that there's going to be a handful of rice left on the last square. In fact, by the time they'd worked it out, there was going to be more rice than would actually fill the whole of China 10 foot high, and he would have been the wealthiest man in the world. That's the same thing, it's multiplication. One person inviting somebody else and somebody else inviting another. Now, how many Christians are there today in our world? 1 billion. Now, plus those who have gone to be with the Lord, those that have gone before us in the past 2,000 years. Could Andrew have imagined how many people would follow after him? Just inviting his brother Peter to come and follow Jesus. Now, Andrew perhaps doesn't get a great lot of publicity, or you know, we'll have St. Andrew's Day, but often do I actually think about that aspect of Andrew as an evangelist. That every one of us sitting here is here because of this man, Andrew, because he decided to invite his brother. And lastly, just to finish up, I want us to consider the importance of helping someone to find Jesus. Why is it important? You know, when Andrew took Peter to meet Jesus, he wasn't inviting him to a service or an event. He was bringing him to meet a person. And that person was the Messiah, the Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God. He was inviting them to come and meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think of inviting someone to church with us, it can be easy for us to think about it in the same way as maybe inviting someone for a cup of tea, or inviting someone to the pub, or asking somebody to go with us to the bowling, or whatever you do. But before we open our mouths, we perhaps have to think about the importance of what we're actually doing. Inviting someone to come and hear the gospel. Inviting someone to meet Jesus Christ. I realise that some folk you invite may already be Christians. for whatever reasons have stopped coming to church. But there will be many who have never had the chance to hear the gospel before. And knowing Jesus is a big deal. It's life or death. It really is that important. Now John, in his first letter, in chapter 5, verse 12, says this: "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." It's that important. It's life or death. And right here in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, those very well known verses: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Now that is important. It's important that people know Jesus Christ. And praying for our friends and family that are not yet followers of Christ is vitally important. It's a matter of life and death and eternity. I just want to leave you with an encouraging story. This is about a lady called Marion. Marion wasn't brought up in church, and she became a Christian at the age of 70 years old. So she'd gone through most of her life not knowing Christ, having never been in a church before. She went to an Easter service at a local Presbyterian church. The gospel was preached. She accepted Christ as her Lord and Saviour, became a member of the church, and is still active in that church. When she was asked why she went to the church in the first place, she said, "My niece invited me." It's as simple as that. And she said, "No one ever invited me to church before. Why is that?" She says, if somebody had asked her, she would have gone years ago, but nobody ever took the time to invite her and ask her to come. So this coming week, I want to encourage you to pray for your friends, pray for your family, those that you're thinking about inviting next Sunday. Ask God to open doors of opportunity for you. Ask God to give you courage. And pray for those that are coming next week as guests, that some would be able to say, like Andrew, "I have found the Messiah." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Andrew, the apostle and our patron saint. Such an example to us of courage and passion for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we too be filled with that same passion and zeal for the glory of God and for the gospel. That you would fill us with courage and boldness to invite friends, family, relatives, neighbours, all those that we know to join with us, to come and hear, to come and find the Saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.